coming up. It's just wonderful to have Dan Johnson with us today. Dan, go ahead and come on up. We want to give him a welcome. And he's a missionary to Spain, a true brother in the Lord. And I just appreciate you very much. Thank you, brother. Share what God's placed on your heart.
Praise the Lord. It is such a joy for me to be with you folks this morning. I have longed to be here. This is my first time at Christian Life Center, and I'm just so thankful. You good folks have supported me month by month for the last 4 years, and you hadn't even met me yet. So it's just a great joy for me to be here with you, and thank you, Pastor Steve, for the invitation. Don't you just love Pastor Steve and Jan? What jewels, what a treasure. You know, in addition to being such longtime friends, I want to say that they have been some of my longest standing supporters. I've been a missionary now for over 30 years, and almost from the very beginning, they, month by month, have as well been faithful in supporting me. They've always been so encouraging. It's just a joy to be with you folks this morning. I was 12 years in Guatemala. I have been in Spain now since 2003 and focused on Muslims. I've got a little table out there in the lobby with all kinds of literature. If you are curious about Islam and ministering to Muslims, all that stuff there on the table is free. I also have a newsletter that I send out every 3 months. If you would like to get that, please leave me your name and your email address in a way that I can read it, please. It would be helpful, and I'd happily get that off to you. And also, if you would take one of my prayer cards, it would mean a great deal to me. As you can imagine, trying to share the gospel with our Muslim friends is a challenge, and I absolutely need the prayers of God's people. God is doing some wonderful things, and even in this last year, I'm looking forward to sharing them with you, but I do have a short video that I put together for this itineration year. I've been on itineration this whole year. I'm going back on December 14th, and I'm looking forward to this next phase of serving the Lord. So if we could take a look at that, Trent, we'll get on with our service.
Dan is part of our Oasis team.
As well, he and I started our Kanisa church planting project. Kanisa means church in Arabic.
وبعدين أنا التحقت بهم من مصر.
Dani es parte de nuestro equipo pastoral.
And part of Al Masira,
کمک به ایرانی ها یک بخش بزرگ از فعالیت های دنیل هستش و اون وقت بسیار زیادی رو با ایرانی ها میگذرونه.
من نمیدونم چطور شده، اما حس خیلی قوی و عجیبی دارم برای تو. تو یک مسیحی بسیار مؤمنی هستی و من هم یک مسلمان شیعه مؤمنی هستم. من نمیفهمم احساسات خودم رو. تو از یک کشوری هستی که دشمن کشور منه. تو عاشق اسرائیل هستی و من میخوام اسرائیل رو نابود بکنم. تو عیسی رو دوست داری و من امام مهدی رو. و عیسی، من نمیدونم چطور داره این اتفاق میفته، با این حال که ما از دو دنیای مختلفی هستیم، اما تو در راه عیسی داری قدم میزنی. من هم میخوام در این راه باشم. برادرانه، خیلی دوست دارم.
I feel the breath of hell breathing down my neck. Dark intends to destroy and hinder to keep this one in check. Of thin spaces the mystics speak, where heaven and earth caress, but as well in darkness they exist to frighten, threaten, and oppress. Moments of this special awareness my way do often come, serving Jesus with all my heart, but sensing the beat of a different drum. I feel it with a friend from Iran, zealous for his lost cause. His hunger for truth intermittent and intense, looking for true faith, but only in religious laws. I feel it in my family ties, so dysfunctional, distant, and sad. In spite of repeated attempts for years, it's me they consider bad. I feel it with a woman newly saved and set free from Mohammed's grip, only to be hindered again and again until she finally begins to slip. I feel it as I fast and seek, procuring to Jesus to be close, crying out in spiritual battle and thankful to be one he chose. Hell may approach and pour out its wrath, but too late it is, for Jesus has already won. So pull your stunts, give it all you've got. He'll be here soon, our glorious, victorious one.
لكن الله يأتي بالثمر.
Thank you for partnering with me through the good times and bad. Without you, nothing happens, but together we can build the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
So that gives you a little bit of a window as to what I'm doing in Spain. It's a joy to be serving the Lord, isn't it? Wherever he has us and however he calls us and equips us, what an exciting time to be alive and living for Jesus. I also want to acknowledge some dear cousins that have come to visit me from St. Regis, Donna and Jerry Booker, down here. What a joy it is to have some family present with me this morning. You know, the Lord is doing some amazing things. And in spite of COVID, in spite of our political situation, this has been a very difficult year in many aspects. But the Lord is never caught short. He is never wringing his hands, right? He's still absolutely in control. And he is moving even when we can't even see that he's moving. I'm part of a pastor's Zoom group. I think a lot of us know what Zoom is by now. And in that group, what we share in addition to our love for Jesus is our love for our Muslim friends. So in this group, there are some Egyptian missionaries, there's Lebanese, Brazilian, a couple of Americans. And one of my dear friends, his name is Esat. He's got an amazing ministry on the internet. Muslims are continually getting a hold of him, asking questions, and he's discipling them and just getting them into a solid understanding of what the gospel is. So I asked him a few months ago, I said, Esat, tell me one of your recent stories. He said, oh, Dan, you're not going to believe what just happened. He said, this Moroccan lady got a hold of me, and she said, I gave my heart to Jesus, and my husband, at being a faithful Muslim, was very upset, and he tried to get me to leave Jesus, and no, I'm not leaving Jesus, and yes, you are, and no, you're not. So they're going back and forth, husband and wife, and she just absolutely refused to leave her newfound faith in Jesus. Finally, he just got so sick of her one night, he said, come on, let's go. And late at night, he drug her out to the car, and they took off and drove up into the Atlas Mountains of Morocco. It was late at night. It was cold, up into a forest. There's animals up there. I'm tired of you. I'm done with you. Get out. And he shoved her out and took off. Can you imagine? This is a 60-some-year-old woman, new in her faith. What was she going to do? Alone? Jesus! You know what happened? She opened her eyes, and she's back in her bedroom. And she's listening to her husband and her daughter arguing. Her daughter is saying, where's my mom? What did you do with my mom? I got tired of her and this Jesus business, and I took her up into the mountains, and I dumped her out. She's listening to this whole argument. And then she opens up the door. Can you imagine the look on his face? I wish I would have been a little bug on the wall to see what was going on in his face. Hallelujah! Are we still Pentecostal in this church? Hello, if you're having trouble with that story, well, I would encourage you to go back and reread the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8, if you will remember, what happened? God translated Philip over a distance of 20 miles just like that. And he's still doing the same things today because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. What great lengths God won't go to get those who are fearing him and longing for him into the kingdom of God, right? Hallelujah. Let's go to John chapter 13, and I want to share with you a thought from a very well-known passage. As I mentioned, this has been a very difficult year for all of us. So many things are pointing to Jesus' return. And, you know, I came to the Lord as a freshman at Washington State University in Pullman, Washington. And since the very beginning, I was hearing, Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back. And then in Bible school and hearing the pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, anti-trib, all this, the things about eschatology. And frankly, I just have to say, you know what? It seems like the older I get, the less I know in some areas. I don't know if anybody can identify with that. But the things that I do know, I do know. I don't worry about time and dates and fulfillment of prophecy, that and those details, because there's just so many competing schools of thought on how that's all going to play out. I don't care. What I do care about and what I do understand is what Matthew 24:14 says, and this gospel, hallelujah, shall be preached in all the world as a testimony unto me to all nations, ethnos, and then how does that verse finish? And then the end shall come. I know that. And I'm so convinced of that. That's why I do what I do. I want to be a link in the chain as Jesus is getting back to come back. He absolutely knows when he's coming back. I have no fear that somehow he's confused or somehow he's wringing his hands. He knows exactly when he's going to come back. But what we need to be about is our Father's business. We need to be working while there is still day because the night is coming. Amen? Hallelujah. So John chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your sweet presence with us this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness to us through a difficult year in so many aspects. Lord, we're thankful this morning that you are faithful, that you have been faithful, and you will continue to be faithful. I pray as your word goes forth, Lord, that it would indeed be you speaking. Help me to step aside, Lord. I just want to stay out of your way and allow you to speak. We need a word from you, Jesus. And I pray that that would take place in each heart that is present here. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of knowing you, that you never abandon us, you never forsake us, and that you are absolutely working your eternal purposes. We bless you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. In this moment, Jesus is entering into the last phase of his earthly life and ministry, and it says that Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. His whole reason for being here in this world is about to be fulfilled. He has spent 3.5 years ministering, casting out demons, healing, teaching, correcting, loving, preaching, and everything is going to culminate in the great sacrifice of his precious and perfect life on the cross of Calvary, so that anyone who would believe in him should not perish, hallelujah, but have everlasting life. He's just kind of in winding things up at this point. And it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the last. You know what? Jesus begins, he completes, right? God never starts something that he doesn't finish. He's not like us. Well, we probably have a list of things that we've started, and I'm tired of this, or I'm bored, or I'm afraid, or whatever. And we leave many things along the way. What God starts, he finishes. If there's anything about the Lord, it's the fact that he fulfills what he starts. My grandpa was a Swede, and if you have that heritage, you might identify with this. But he was a very strict, demanding, perfectionist Swede. Everything he did was absolutely perfect. And he taught us from the time I can remember, don't ever start something and not finish it. And it was always with this tone of threat. And he was tall and big and scary, so you know, you got the message pretty quick. It didn't matter if it was a project, if it was fixing something, if it was a trip, if it was a fight. If you started something, you had to finish it. And you had to finish it right. And guess what? If that wasn't done to his standard, well, you had to go back and start from the very beginning and do it all over again. Ha! Didn't matter how many times you had to do it. You had to do it until it was according to his demands. What you start, you have to finish. Now, unfortunately, my grandpa was an atheist, and that's very, very sad, but at least I think that he shared this quality with Jesus. What you start, you finish. And you know, there's a deep sense of satisfaction in having finished something that you started, right? Hallelujah! You start a project and you finish it. You graduate from college or from the university. You see a son or daughter or even grandchild marry well. You retire. I mean, we could go on and on and on with the list, and it's just such a great feeling to start something and finish it. Hallelujah! Right? Praise God! Jesus knew that he had started to love his disciples. He loved them well, and he loved them to the end. And it says in verse 2, the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Look at all the things that Jesus knew. Or that Jesus knows. And you might say, well, that's kind of ridiculous. Jesus knows everything. Well, right. But let's just go step by step. Verse 1, Jesus knew that his hour had come for him to leave. He knew that he had loved them to the last. He knew that the Father had put all things under his power. And he knew that he had come from God and that he was returning to God. And can I add? Jesus knew also that he was one step away from the greatest suffering in his life. He didn't stop. He didn't slow down. And in addition to that, he knew that the disciples that he had won and discipled and loved as well were going to enter into this very difficult and dark period of their lives. Am I right? Jesus knew that. What Jesus knows always goes far above what you and I know, right? And what a comfort that is. Jesus knows. He knew, he knows, and he foreknows what is going to take place. And look at how that contrasts with others. For example, even in our context here, Judas didn't know that what he's about to do, he was going to be sorry for. In this moment, he doesn't know that. Nor did he know that he was going, instead of asking forgiveness, he was going to commit suicide. In this moment, he doesn't know that. The devil didn't even know that all of his entire plan to get rid of Jesus and get rid of God's plan and to just ruin everything was actually going to turn against him and his and be his own finish. Hallelujah! You know, when you know why you are here, you know where you're going, you know what is waiting for you, and what you want to leave as a legacy, especially at this stage in our lives, it fills you with just this incredible confidence that's incomparable. There's no one or nothing that can cause us to get out of the way because we know why we're here. Hallelujah! We know why we've been brought into the kingdom of God. And we've lived, we've had experience, ups and downs. And, oh, hallelujah! That just kind of puts us in this impenetrable bubble of trust. Hallelujah! I can remember when I went to Guatemala many years ago. I had been invited to preach. I took along a young singer with me. And after the service, we got back in the bus because I had an appointment back in the capital city of Guatemala. And so we get on the bus and we're up on the highway. And then all of a sudden, all the traffic had completely stopped. Everybody starts kind of murmuring, what's going on? What's going on? And then all of a sudden, boom, and this light tower off to the left blows up. And then boom, bullets are flying. Ah, los guerrilleros. We were still in civil war at that time in Guatemala when I recently arrived. Everybody is screaming, oh, we're going to die, we're going to die. Well, like any good American, I didn't have time for this. I had things to do. And so everybody's screaming and crying, and this young guy I'd taken along is trying to hide under the seat. Ah, he's crying. No, come on, get out, and we're going to go. No, no, boom, boom, boom. The bullets are flying around. I saw that another bus had kind of gotten out of the line up ahead. I said, come on, let's go. So we got off the bus and ran up, and beep, beep, beep. We finally reached the other bus, got aboard, and got back to the Capitol safely. And afterwards, I thought about it. I thought, that was really stupid. But you know, there's been so many times like that in my life where I have just been so focused on the Lord. What can happen to me? It just puts an incomparable trust that we're in his hands. What can happen? Praise God. Now, that's not to do foolish things, but what I'm focusing on is just the security and the trust that we can walk in. Hallelujah. Verse 4, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped his towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. This comes as a seal of what Jesus had been teaching them all this time. It was so common and every day that it was just wouldn't have normally had any much significance except for the fact that it wasn't Jesus' responsibility to do this. He humbled himself and he took it upon himself to do something that was a servant's job to do. And therein lies the depth of what he is teaching his own disciples. Verse 6, Peter immediately resists. He says he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Peter, we could look at this as he's asking that, maybe courteously. It's not a direct resistance initially, but he is questioning Jesus, right? "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" It's as if he's saying, wait a minute. Why do you always have to be doing things out of the normal? Why can't you just do something normal once? This isn't your job to do. You're not washing my feet. Let's just get that straight. He's resisting. He's questioning. Why do you always have to take me out of my comfort zone? What are the questions that you are asking God? I know you have them. You're just like me. Every one of us goes through experiences in life. And I always say, I have a lot of questions I have asked and I continue to ask God. I don't like it when he asks me a question, because I've learned that he's not going to move until he gets the answer that he wants to hear. I question God, even now. Even as this missionary, there are times when I question God. And certainly in the course of your life, you have questioned God as well. It didn't appear right to you what he was either doing or what he was allowing to happen in your life. At the end of the day, it's kind of all the same. Whether he's doing it or whether he's allowing it, it's happening. Ha! You let my parents get divorced? Really? You who are the healer, and you're not stopping the advance of cancer? Really? You let the person that I love the most leave me? Oh, and by the way, how about COVID? You're letting COVID happen and all the death and trauma associated with that, and how that's just changing our society even daily. What's up with that? I don't understand it. Where are you? Who are you? What are you doing? And Jesus replied, "Hallelujah. You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." Now, it calls my attention to the two different words that are used here. Realize in New International and understand. It could be that we would understand those as synonyms, but there's actually a slight difference between these two Greek words, oido and genosko. Oido, the first one that's translated in New International, realize, refers to an intuitive knowledge. There are things that we know just because we know. I mean, just obvious. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that I'm standing on a stage. These are steps, intuitive knowledge. But gnosko is different. Gnosko refers to knowledge that we have because we have learned it. Hallelujah! So we could translate it possibly this way. What I am doing is not obvious to you now. It's not obvious to you today, but afterwards, you will understand. Hallelujah. Because you will have learned. Glory to God. What I am doing, you do not realize now, Peter. But afterwards, you will have learned and you will understand. And you know, there's a gap between realize and understand. There's a gap between things that are just common and common knowledge, common sense that isn't so common anymore in our world, and things that we know because we have learned. Oh, praise God. You know what's happening in this gap? That gap between realizing today and understanding afterwards. That's where a lot of people get lost. That's where you and I get lost sometimes. We don't realize what is happening, and if we don't process that right, we get angry often. Hello? This isn't turning out like I wanted it to turn out. This isn't even lining up what I understood as the will of God. You do not realize what I'm doing. But afterwards, you will understand. In this gap, God is working on us. He's taking out his sandpaper. He is conforming us to the image of his own dear son. And if we get lost in that process, well, guess what? We're going to have to go back and repeat it. He is wanting to take us from what we realize today so that we'll be able to say, I understand because I've learned. Hallelujah! So Peter is doing something scandalous. Jesus is doing something scandalous. He's doing something inappropriate. He's doing something that is it's just not right. And he let Jesus know that. Jesus knew what was to come. And he neither stopped it nor slowed it down. He didn't even give anesthesia. He'd spent 3.5 years giving anesthesia. And it came to the moment where, okay, I've done what I need to do. Now let's just go forward. Psalms 95:10 says that they are a people whose hearts go astray and they have not known my ways. You know, that's our problem, even as the sons and daughters of God. We celebrate his works, but I'll tell you, it doesn't take a believer to celebrate the works of God. I mean, you can see with your eyes somebody was sick and now they're healed. Okay, yeah, God did that. It doesn't take any depth of spirituality to recognize the works of God, but to know his ways, why he does what he does, is a whole nother thing. Daniel, who knew God so well, discovered in chapter 2, verse 22, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. Jesus himself said in Matthew 11:25, you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Our great comfort is that one day, hallelujah, we're going to be with him and we will have learned and we will know and we will understand, right? Hallelujah. We sing about it, we teach it, we preach it. But you know, one thing that I thought about, The beautiful thing is that Jesus is not limiting himself here in the sweet by and by. This afterwards that he is talking about can also apply to here and now. In the moment of washing his disciples' feet, they did not realize what he was doing because they hadn't learned yet. But when Jesus died, when he resurrected from the dead and ascended to his Father, everything became clear. Hallelujah! Yes, Jesus! Wow! And I like to think of Peter. So Peter, when he's filled with the Holy Ghost on in Acts chapter 2, and he's preaching that wonderful Pentecost sermon, the veil of his eyes was taken away. And I like to think of, he's right in the midst of the Spirit and the Word are flowing through him. And he even quotes Psalm 16:11. He says, "You have made known to me the path of life." And I like to think of him right in the middle of his sermon that he's remembering just a few weeks ago when Jesus said, "You do not realize what I am doing, but you will have learned and will understand afterwards, Peter." Yes, Jesus, in that moment, yes, Jesus, now I understand. I get it. Hallelujah. Whoo! Praise God. "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." The truth is that when finally we understand, it fills us with an incomparable joy. You know, there is a blessing to getting old. Anybody agree with me on that? We're one step closer to being with Jesus. But something that I've observed along life's pathway is that each one of us have these hilos sueltos, these, how do we say that? The loose ends. We have these loose ends that accumulate in our lives. Things that just don't turn out right. And we go around and around and around. We could be thinking about something for 40 years, 50 years, 60, and it doesn't make sense. I still don't get it. But you know, it's an amazing thing. As you get old, these loose ends just kind of have a way of connecting, right? And then, oh, of course, that makes sense. Now I get it, Lord. I have learned, I understand, praise God, of course that's the way to have things that turn out. Ha! How did I know all those years ago when my sister died in a tragic fire that marked my life for the rest of my life? Caused a crisis of faith. But how did I know that depth of trauma and tragedy was going to turn into a deep comfort years later in the life of a New Mexican brother that I had just met? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He wastes nothing. What I am doing today, you don't get it. You may not realize it. But hold on, afterwards, you will have learned and you will understand and it'll all make sense. Woo! Praise God. Let's pray. Jesus. Oh, Lord. Lord, I don't understand why there are still 4,000 to 6,000 groups that have yet to hear the gospel today. In spite of all of our preaching and teaching for 2,000 years, there are still millions of people to this day who've never understood, never heard your gospel. I don't understand that, Jesus. But I believe that you are at work, and I believe that one day I will understand. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful in moving towards finishing the task. And for each one of my brothers and sisters that is here this morning, that might even be currently struggling with some issue that they do not understand. They don't realize, it doesn't make sense. Maybe something that happened in their childhood or their adolescence or their early adult life. Lord, as much as we think, we just don't get it. I pray, Jesus, that you would minister deeply to this heart, these hearts. We just open our hearts and our hands, our spirit, right now, church. Spirit of God is here. There may be someone who's identified with this message, just open your heart to Jesus right now. Just say, Lord, teach me. I don't get it. That was so painful. That was so dark. That was so not right. Why? Jesus, would you teach them and bring them to understanding, which brings peace and joy and celebration. Lord, I thank you for this dear church. I thank you for everything they have walked through the course of their history. We don't understand, Lord, why you take us from season to season, but our anchor is firmly rooted in your word and your spirit. And Lord, the best is yet to come. The last chapter has not been written yet. Oh, it's glorious to serve you, Jesus. Lord, I bless my brothers and sisters. I pray for healing and enlightenment and just a huge baptism of expectation and hope and joy as they enter into this new season, the next pastor that is coming. Lord, the people that are going to meet you as a result. Hallelujah! We praise you, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Dan. I was thinking as he was praying, the anchor holds. The anchor holds. I grew up in a town where water was visible almost every day, and ships were in the harbor, and they would set that anchor, and they would stay there through the stiffest storms. And we can rest assured that as we anchor in Christ, it's going to hold. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Dan. That was very encouraging. I just want us to partner with Dan now, and if you would like to help him in his ministry, as you go today, there's a box on that wall between the doors, and we're going to mark it missions or mark it Dan, whatever you can do, and we'll make sure that that is a blessing to him. I'm sure you have funds that are still needed before you go, so we want to help him in that and continue to support him. So let's just thank the Lord for his goodness. Lord, we do thank you. And we thank you, God, for the ways that you just remind us of your faithfulness. And we pray a blessing on Dan today. God, we thank you for bringing him here today. We pray that you would just open up all those things that need to be opened up before he gets to go back to Spain and work out all those details. Bring all those loose ends together. Lord, we just thank you for him now. And let these words that he's given today continue to be used by your spirit in our hearts to do that deep work that you desire. I pray in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you for coming today. God bless you, and have a wonderful Sunday afternoon.